But I do think we're going to look back in years to come, and we are going to look at this time period as the golden age of comic books, the golden age of superheroes, because you cannot turn around without there being a superhero TV show or a superhero movie. And I bet you that all of the costumes that people will be wearing at the end of this month, the majority of them will be superhero themed. And so they're everywhere. So we identify with superheroes. We can see somebody and go, we know who they are. We know who they are based upon what they look like or based upon their abilities. But here's the question that I want to ask you. If I had the pictures and I put up a picture of every superhero, do you know their name? Not their superhero name, but do you know their name, their true identity? So let's try this without the pictures, okay? So I'm going to need your help. You're going to need to yell. If I say Batman, well, who is Batman? Bruce Wayne, okay. If I say Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, I like that, all right. If I say Superman, very good. How about Aquaman? Steve? What was that? Steve. Just Steve. Who's Aquaman? Oh, he's Steve. That's Aquaman over there. Okay, very late Steve. Arthur Curry. Okay, Spider-Man. Peter Parker. Catwoman. Who got Selena? Man, that is extra bonus points right there, man. Selena Kyle. Okay, Wonder Woman. Diana Prince. Okay. Captain America. Steve Rogers or Joe Slaybaugh would have been an accepted answer here. Either one of those would be fine. Flash. Barry Allen. Iron Man. The Hulk. Bruce Banner. I had David Banner and Eric had to correct me, so. The really cool thing is, obviously, if I had the pictures, you would be able to see, oh, I know who they are. But one of the cool things about all of these superheroes, if you know anything about their story, is they all struggle with their identity. Like, am I the superhero or am I the person? And if you know their stories or have seen the movies, there's always this internal struggle with, who am I? Am I my abilities? Am I my public persona? Or am I the person that I am with my name? And I think we have a lot in common with superheroes. I think so many of us struggle with who we are. Am I what I do? Am I my public persona? Am I my abilities? So how do we understand who we are? How do we embrace our true identity? See, these superheroes struggle with their secret identity. They think their secret identity is who they are. And so many people see them just as their secret identity and never truly see them as who they are. So today what we're going to talk about is, where do we find our identity and how we need to stop living this secret identity. So we're going to be going here through the Believe, and we're going to begin in the Old Testament and just really kind of process this through. And there's a great text in Jeremiah. Now understand what Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he kept trying to tell the people of who they were and whose they were. But what happened was, the people of God got very comfortable with their secret identity, their public persona. They're like, we're the people of God. And that was good enough. They didn't have to be obedient as the people of God. They didn't have to be faithful as the people of God, because they had the title as people of God, and that was good enough. Because they had the public persona as being the people of God, they felt like they didn't have to do anything else, because that's all that mattered. So I want you to picture this scene. Picture you're walking down the street. You go by a cafe. Let's say it's a Starbucks. And outside Starbucks, you see Batman and Superman having a cup of coffee. Right? They're just having a cup of coffee right there. Batman would have to pay because Superman's cooler. We all know that, right? And so all of a sudden they're like, oh, there's a fire. There's a fire across the street. So you run up to Batman and Superman and go, guys, there's a fire and there's kittens inside. Will you go and save them? And they go, nah, we're not going to do that. But you guys are Batman and Superman. Yeah, we know. We know. Well, you got to go and save people. That's who you are. No, we're good. like, would they still be a superhero? Or are they just walking around with the outfit? And that's what was happening with the people of God. They said, we don't have to act like the people of God. We don't have to be obedient like the people of God. We just need to look like the people of God. See, their identity was wrapped up in something external. They thought their persona, they thought the image that was out there of them, that was who they were. But God says, that's not who you are, and that's not who you're going to be. And we sometimes can say, my identity is my public persona. I'm religious. I'm a church person. I'm a good person. Listen to what God does. God steps in and says, this is who you are, from Jeremiah 31. He says, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So God steps in and says, no longer will your identity be external. Your identity will be internal. God says, I'm going to write the laws on their hearts. I'm going to change their hearts. I'm going to change them from the inside out. Who we are begins on the inside and manifests itself on the outside. But we live in a culture that says who you are starts on the outside and then comes on the inside. The people of God found their identity in external things. What they did, what other people thought of them. Who you are is not what you do. Who you are is not what other people think of you. But that is counterculture today, and it was counterculture then. We sometimes are defined by what we do, how successful we are at our jobs. We are defined by how successful our kids are. Is your kid on the elite team? Is your kid on the traveling team? Is your kid on the honor club? How big is your business? How big is your budget? What kind of car do you drive? What kind of house do you live in? We sometimes are so defined and find our identity in external things. And what God is saying is he's going to rip off the mask of our secret identity. He says, no longer can you hide behind external things to think that's who you are, because that's not who I made you. You know, I worked in the business world for a long time, and I've worked with some great salespeople. And one of the guys I worked with was a guy named Sean. Sean was a master salesman. He could sell anything, and he was always hustling. He was either on the phone in a meeting or on the way to a meeting while he was on the phone, right? He was a generous guy, a gracious guy, a fun guy, the life of the party. If you went out, Sean said, I got it. Great guy. And sales were always good, and Sean was always in a great mood. Well, sales sometimes can go up and down. And when sales started to struggle, so did Sean. He wasn't as happy, and he wasn't as gracious, and he wasn't as loving. He became bitter. He became angry. And I remember one time a sale wasn't going well, and there was a mistake, and he just lost it. And he started sending emails and voicemails to people that were just horrible, just ugly. And he became darker and darker. See, because Sean's identity was in his job. And when sales hit rock bottom, so did Sean. And Sean took his life. Because Sean's identity was tied into what he did. He identified his happiness with his success at his job. He was happy if his job went well, and he was sad if his job went bad. How many of us are the same way? We're in a great mood and everything's going well, but we're in a bad mood when things aren't going well, because we find our identity in external things. And see, what the scripture teaches us, that what we do is not who we are. And our success or failure has no determining factor about our identity. You could be the most successful person in the world. That's not who you are to God. And you may have had the worst amount of success. You have nothing good going. That's not who you are in the eyes of God. See, two things happen when we understand that we go from being a sinner to being the redeemed. First, we know God personally. when we find our identity in Christ, we know God personally. And it has nothing to do with any external thing. Second, we have the forgiveness of sins. When we find our identity in God through Christ, we are forgiven. That's who we are. We live in a culture that says your identity is tied to what you do, how busy you are, how successful you are, how busy your kids are, how successful your kids are. That's what our world is saying your identity, and God steps in and says, no, I'm going to transform you from the inside out. Where do you find your identity? And no one is immune. You don't think pastors? We don't find our identity. Well, how big's your congregation? 10,000. Wow, you're awesome. How big's your congregation? 6. Man, you stink. You know, we all can get caught up in finding our identity in external things. You know, whether it's sales numbers or participants or God says, stop with the secret identity. He said, I'm going to rip the mask off. That's not who you are. But church folks, we struggle with this too. We find our identity sometimes. What's the first question that most people ask? Where do you go to church? You tell them, they go, how big? That's typically the first question. How many people you got? See, church folks struggle with this too. We become kind of slaves to this identity crisis that we find ourselves in. But listen to what Paul says in Romans 8. He says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs to God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul is saying to Christians in Rome, don't fall back into your secret identity. Don't think that you can just be religious, or don't think that you can be defined by the things that used to define you. You are not a slave to fear. We have become a slave to fear in this culture. Well, I've got to have all of these external things going on because then people will think I'm really good, or people will think I'm really successful. We've become a slave to that fear, the expectation of others. And what Paul says and what God's word tells us is that we are no longer slaves to that fear, but we are adopted sons and daughters of God. Our identity is found in that we are children of God, that God is our Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic for Father. We get to call God Father. We are adopted by God. Each and every one of us is a son or daughter of God. Our identity is not even in our earthly parents. Our identity is that we are a child of God. Whether you have a great relationship with your parents or a bad relationship with your parents, that is not your identity. Your identity is that you are a child of God. You are adopted. In the ancient world, when a child was adopted, they lost all rights, connections, and privileges connected to their old family. They go away, and they receive all rights and privileges with the family that has adopted them. And what Paul is saying is you're no longer connected to that old way of living. That's not who you were. Who you are is who has adopted you. You and I have been adopted. Our identity is that we are a child of God, and it doesn't matter. We have all rights and responsibilities. In fact, it says that we are heirs. We are co-heirs. We are co-heirs with Christ. Jesus becomes our big brother. We are co-heirs, and when we are co-heirs, we inherit all that we would get from our Father. And that inheritance is now, and our inheritance is to come. See, we sometimes think in order to be a child of God, we've got to leap tall buildings in a single bound, or run faster than a locomotive or a speeding bullet. That doesn't what it takes to be a child of God. What it takes to be a child of God is saying, I know my identity is found in Christ. It is internal and it is not external. You know, so many people within our community have adopted, right? So many of us, we've adopted, so many people have adopted. And one of the really kind of cool things about adoption is once you adopt a child, at some point you're going to have a court date. And this is to kind of make it official. And so I remember our court date, we go in and there's a judge, and you know, we had some family and some friends, and basically the judge says, you know what, we're gonna decree that this child is officially, in the eyes of the state, your son. And for anybody who's adopted, your child is your child from the second they're your child, right? But what's so cool is once it becomes official, it becomes another day to celebrate. We celebrate Levi's birthday every year, but we also celebrate his adoption day. We celebrate that day when he officially became ours. Because who he is he's a child of God. We should celebrate our adoption day, the day that we give our life to Christ. That's the day we become a child of God. We become heirs. We become co-heirs. And I'm sure that Selah and Levi are so excited that they are co-heirs to the vast Ryan fortune. I know that they are, right? I know they're thrilled with that. There may not be a whole lot in that Ryan fortune for them, but there's going to be eternity for us. If our identity is found in Christ, that we are redeemed, that we are a child of God. I think that when I think about co-heirs and I think of inheritance, I think about those people who are going to inherit sports memorabilia. I know a lot of us are sports fans, and the sports memorabilia business is a big, big business. Now, I can't remember the year, when the Chicago Bulls, led by Michael Jordan, played the Utah Jazz in the NBA Finals. Michael Jordan was very, very ill in this game. It's called the flu game, if that means anything to you, right? Well, at the time, there was a ball boy for the Utah Jazz. And after that game, which, you know, Jordan's amazing, he asked Michael Jordan for his sneakers. And Michael Jordan said, sure. So he gave him his sneakers. Well, all these years later, that ball boy has grown up, and he's married, and he has kids. He decided to auction off the sneakers. Do you know how much he got for those sneakers? $105,000. $105,000 for those sneakers. And as far as I know, they don't make you play like Michael Jordan. Right? I don't think you can jump higher or shoot better. I don't think they're made of gold. I don't think there's a DVD player or a computer in them. I don't know. But you know what makes those things valuable is not what they are, but whose they are. The possession is what makes them valuable. They're just sneakers. They're made like every other pair of sneakers that everybody else can buy and wear. But what makes them valuable is whose they are. And where we find our value is that we are God's. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 2. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. What we read in this text is we find our value in whose we are. We find our value in that we belong to God. We will never find our value in what we do. We will never find our value in our successes. We will never find our value in our children. We will never find value in our possessions. We will only find value when we understand and accept that we belong to God. That's what this text says. That our value is that we belong to God. Our identity is that we belong to God. So often we hide behind that secret identity of what I wear, where I live, and what I drive, and what I have, and what I've accomplished, and all of the different things that the world says, this is your identity. We live in a time of identity crisis, and we live in a time of identity theft. Our identity was stolen from us in the garden from the devil. The devil trying to tell us, oh, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. So we find our identity in what we can do, what we can control. That is not who we are. We are a chosen people. Did you ever think that you are chosen by God? God chose you. He chose to create you. He chose to redeem you. He chose to reveal himself to you. That's how special you are to God, that he chose you. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. Is that God chose us because we belong to God. He says we are a chosen people. We are a holy nation. The word holy means to be set apart. We are set apart. God sets apart His people. He set us apart for a specific reason, so that we would find our identity in Him. We are a royal priesthood. We serve a king who has an eternal kingdom. You and I are kingdom kids. We are royalty. Is there a better thing to find your identity in than royalty? We live in a time that we so want to find our identity in all of these external things. What we've accomplished, our successes, what we have, what our kids have. Our kids are on an elite team. Our kids are in the honor club. We try to find our identity in everything but the one thing that we can find our identity in, and that's God. And that's what these texts are telling us, that we need to live as aliens and strangers in this world. A lot of the superheroes aren't from this world. We can't lose our identity in this world and develop a secret identity. It says, I'm religious. That's my identity. Or I'm God's people. I don't have to do anything, and that's my identity. Or I'm successful at this, or my kids are successful at that. That's not who we are. Who we are is we are God's people. Who we are redeemed because God has changed our heart. God has transformed us from the inside out. That's who we are. Who we are is that we've been adopted by God. We are sons and daughters of the King. Who we are is that we are God's treasured possession. You've heard this phrase a million times, so have I, that if God had a fridge, your picture would be on it. Because we belong to God. We are struggling with an identity as people. We struggle with identity as a church. We struggle with identity as a nation because we're looking in all the wrong places for our identity, external. What we learn from these texts and what Scripture teaches us is that our identity is found in Christ. No longer do we have to be super mom or super dad or super student or super spouse or super brother. That's not who we are. We've got to be who we are and embrace our true identity, which is found in God alone.